Machines freed us from nature's cruel grasp, but now our necks are in the machine's grip. They freed us from some of our most horrible fates. Death by childbirth, starvation, freezing to death, floods and earthquakes. Through our Promethean machines, we've humiliated the gods. We are now the gods that nature bows to. And like all conquerors in life, we are going to eat our victory. Like the lion eating the gazelle's body, we are tearing nature apart limb from limb. We are swarming all over the earth. We consume the animals and multiply. We build ourselves a paradise. Humming appliances, ticking clocks, hot showers, gentle sheets, solid walls, air conditioning, miles and miles and miles of food. Drugs that annihilate all pain, procedures of safety, roads to anywhere on earth. The world is our oyster. Pilgrimages can be done in an hour. We can speak with phones to other continents. The world's wonders is an airplane flight away. The cities begin swelling. We can see the forgotten with cameras. Work has become easy. We have built thinking machines. We are the high magicians of history. War has no heroes. Man is now an insect beneath the machines. Technology has given us the power to annihilate the world. But this has also had an effect on us. We have been changed by it. Our instincts now betray us. Vices have crept into all aspects of our lives. We've replaced true conquest in the world with video games. We've replaced sex with porn. We've replaced the fertile imagination with Netflix. The food is toxic. Sugars, seed oils, polyunsaturated fats, painkillers, endocrine disruptors. We are getting poisoned. The profound emotions in man, the visionary imagination that gave him the inspiration to defeat suffering. What use is this when you have a fridge? We have abandoned it. Technology has bewitched us. Our mistress has begun to transform us. Our postures are slouched. We are becoming uglier. Chronic disease is plaguing us. Our fertility is bottoming out. We are sick. This sickness has filled us with anguish. It's the suffering of poison. Our mental health has imploded. We are transforming into something horrible. Something that is weary of life. The last man. I am a big Nietzsche fan. I'm like one of those kids that when I found Nietzsche, I just stopped developing emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. I just stopped. I said, I'm going to identify with this Nietzsche guy. I'm going to build my foundation on that. I'm not going to go any further than this. I'm basically a spiritual grug, an academic grug at this point. I'll just read Nietzsche. I'm a Puritan. You know, I'm like Jordan Peterson on the carnivore diet, only like my diet is just pure Nietzsche, just to cut out all the inflammation, all the crap. I may enhance my personality by watching American Psycho and identifying with Christian Bale, or, you know, watching The Joker or something like that, but I'm done. That's it. I'm a Sigma. I was going to say I worship a German insult, but I'm not sure I want to say that. I think that's a bit much, lads. Fuck. All right, I've shot myself in the foot. All right, it's coming out, right? I love a German incel. Like, what am I supposed to do? How does an incel die of syphilis? There's another question for you. Can someone please explain that to me? Every time we talk about Nietzsche, it's like, well, he was a Satanist who died of syphilis and went insane. And he also had never had any sex once in his entire life. It's like, how did he get syphilis then? What's going on there? How did that happen? What's the story there? How did he get syphilis? Oh, he got syphilis by fighting in the army. He was in the army in Prussia or fighting France, and he got syphilis because everyone was going to brothels. And it's like, wait a second, you're telling me that he's weak? He's a weak, feeble coward. You're telling me he's a weak, feeble coward and a little fucking girl bitch, a little soy boy who was angry at the world, so he wrote all these like big long theses about power. He's like Sauron, you know, being like, I love power, I need more power, because he's a little feeble golem, a little feeble incel. You're telling me he was a little feeble, weak incel, but he went and fought in the fucking war? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He's an incel and he's feeble, but he went and fought in a war and caught syphilis while he was there. What are you talking about? Who put you in charge? Where are you getting this stuff from? What is going on? The Nietzsche I know is not a feeble incel. The Nietzsche I know is a Chad. The Nietzsche I know used to travel around. He was a med enjoyer. He used to travel around Italy because nobody goes to work in Italy. He used to travel around the mountains and hike all the time. Hike for hours and write books. And he used to write books without editing them. He used to just sit down. He wrote Zarathustra in 10 fucking days. What have you done the last 10 days? You probably fucking watched Pornhub 17 times or something like that. He wrote a book in 10 days. You're telling me he's an incel. So what if he was an incel? He produced more than you. God fucking damn it. Fighting for my boy Nietzsche out here. I'm the only guy out here just like putting fisticuffs off for Nietzsche, standing in Nietzsche's corner. And I do this for a reason. Nietzsche is the guy with the best explanation for what is going on right now. Why we're in this crisis. Why Western culture is going through this schizophrenic implosion. Why all this stuff is happening. Nietzsche explains it best. He has the clearest story, and most importantly, he was telling this story before it was cool. He was telling this story 100 years ago. He was telling this story so ahead of his time that most people didn't even read his books. They're like, this dude's a fucking nut job. This dude is just out of his whack. What is he ranting like this for? He's so crazy. Jesus Christ. The state of his mustache as well. They just weren't listening to him. He's why he runs around the mountains writing books that hurt my feelings. Like, fuck you. I'm not reading your shit. And he even wrote in Ecce Homo. He said that my audience is not even born yet. You know, I'm a man for the future. Some people are born after they die. And this is truly what happened. Nietzsche died thinking that, you know, like 50 people read his books and they're all his friends who were just sort of being nice to him and all this type of stuff. He had no readers. He was like a Twitter poster. It filled this whole big Twitter blog and no one had read it, and then the second he died it just became the biggest thing in the world. Everybody started reading it, and he presented a story inside all of his works. He presented an idea. He set up a prediction. He turned around and he said the prophecy of the last man. He said that the problem that we're going to face as Western people in the next 100, 200, 300 years is going to be dealing with the last man, understanding the true meaning of the last man. Now, Jordan Peterson has kind of sold you short a little bit with the whole idea that it's the death of God that Nietzsche was obsessing about. It's like, oh, the death of God, and like this is true. The death of God flings us into an era of nihilism. This is absolutely true. But that maybe is the big story up in the sky. But the more intense story is understanding what all this stuff means on the ground, what this means about us, what is happening to us. And this is something that we really need to look at. So in order to understand the story of the last man, I need to tell you a brief story of the West. I'm going to go context mode. I'm going to go Steph mode, and I'm going to go in a bit of a rant. I hope you're ready for this. So you might be saying to yourself, I'm depressed. I feel like an incel sometimes. Even though I'm having loads of sex, I'm visiting prostitutes, I'm a spiritual incel or something like this. That's going to be a new online fucking thing at some point, isn't it? It's like, yeah, I have loads of sex, but I'm like spiritually an incel. Yeah, that's what's coming next. You may feel at odds. You may even be sitting there and you'll be watching meme pages, and all the meme pages will be like, revolt against the modern world. We must go back. We must return. We must return to the past. Return to Christianity. Return to traditionalism. Return to the past. That's what we're sort of saying. And what this basically means is escape the modern world, because the modern world is a dead end. And what has happened in the modern world is that we're all trapped in the matrix, as Tate is always telling us. We're inside this story. We've got these elites who are siphoning off our psychic energy, off our labor, up through usury, up through taxes, up through their very various forms of financial trickery. And we're trapped within the matrix, and we're imprisoned in all these stories and all these problems. And the worst part of this is that it crushes our instincts. So our instincts scream inside of us. Our life force screams inside of us and demands that we have freedom. We have space. We have room to express ourselves. We have these masculine fireballs inside of ourselves that are roaring for us to release ourselves, create more, breed, do all these type of things. But of course, modernity is crushing in those instincts. As a young guy, you know, you're going through life. Your instincts are ultimately suppressed. They're going to be suppressed. That's part of life, is that you're clashing up against the real world as it is. It's hard to have the 26 girlfriends. It's hard for you to create your art. It's hard for you to get the finances for yourself. It's hard for you to break free and not have to work and have other people work and basically pay you. It's difficult to get yourself into those positions, to get yourself in that position where you're rewarded and you're freed to express yourself. That's always a challenge. Now, it becomes even worse when the way that society was generally set up is that people were trying to regulate everybody's instincts at once. So the sort of compromise was like, if you were a peasant, you would have been given a wife, you would have been given a wife, given kids, given all these type of things, given this farm, and then all you have to do is pay your priest and pay your lord and don't complain too much and show up to church on Sunday and till your farm, and you're going to be all right. And most of your instincts are going to be generally fulfilled that way, and it's not going to be so bad. And most people would be happy with that deal. And in the 50s, that was the same sort of idea. Hey, you go to work, you pay your taxes, you'll get a white picket fence, you get 2.5 kids, all these type of things. But this stuff is all broken down. Nowadays, that doesn't work anymore. If you go and you just, you know, know, want to go to work, you're going to end up an incel. You're going to end up broke. You're going to end up, you know, trying to get a mortgage for a house and it's going to take you 40 years to pay it off. You're not going to get a girlfriend because girls are have got Instagram now and they're only interested in hanging out with Tate and stuff like this, people who have Bugattis. And if you get married, you're going to have this compromised relationship where there's no true standards anymore. There's no true roles put into place. And so it's probably going to end up in a divorce. You're very unlikely to have children for a long time and because it's too expensive, it's too costly, you know, you and your wife work and all this type of stuff. So almost all of your, and then most importantly of all, I guess, you can't really speak. You can't really say what you think. You can't say what you believe. You can't stand for anything. You most importantly can't stand for yourself, especially if you're Western European. You're not allowed to say who you are. You're not allowed to say what you believe. You're not allowed to say you believe in yourself. All of this stuff is bad. And so essentially your instincts are just castrated at the root. You're in a terrible position if you're growing up in this society, and this is what we mean by breaking out of the matrix. Now, a lot of people are very, very mad about this and are very, very confused. They feel it's a crisis. They come up with maybe abstractions to talk about this and say, is it the death of God? Is it it's caused by this movement or that movement or this thing or that, or the communists or whoever it is? But the truth is that the experience, the actual experience of going through it is like this, is that our instincts are in this eternal struggle with society. And right now, I'd say the instincts are on the losing end at this point. Male instincts especially, but general instincts, like the West is sterile overall. It is a death cult. It is, generally speaking, going less aligned with our life force and our nature. But guys are noticing this particularly, where they're becoming sterile. Their instincts are getting destroyed and they're looking for a way out. They're looking for something to do. Now, what's interesting is that this is not new. People tell you that this is new, but it's not that new. Society, first of all, is always like this on some level. It's a perennial problem. Okay, so you're always going to be struggling to express your instincts. It's never good to be a peasant. It's never good to be lower caste because you're always going to have that war. But when society is organized in its highest forms, you would have, for example, a religion which satisfies the many. Islam, Christianity, this is what these things do at a brilliant scale, is that they empower the many to be able to express their instincts, and they also give room for the few, the elite, the 1%, to also express their instincts. So for example, in Catholic France, everybody, there's many people who had farms and stuff like this, and of course, and they could have their wives, and they had Christianity to sanctify the marriages and keep everything together. And then, of course, there was this this 1% who would be married, but they'd also have, like, you know, being French, they'd have like 14 mistresses and stuff like this. They had the mistress institution. The church was reinforcing their power. High status men were seen as high status. You could literally walk around acting like a king. You could be the king. You could be royal, because Christianity had given this idea of the divine right of kings and put it into place. And so there was a way for the excellent man and his 1% super instincts, his authority, his highestness, his greatness, his majesty could be expressed in that 1% way. So his instincts could be expressed, and it was aligned and managed with the populace, the masses. And things sort of worked in some sense. France is a very stable society, for example. There's many other examples I could go through for many, many years. But what began to happen is France and England and Germany became so successful following this model that they actually began to ask themselves a couple of questions. You know, you had actually a lot of people who were rediscovering the ancient world, and they started to discover science, and they started to discover the science of the Romans and engineering of the Romans, and they started to invent and make up these new forms of thinking, which led essentially to the Industrial Revolution. So guys were sitting around being like, wait a second, how did these pagans feckin' build aqueducts? Like, how, wait a second now, how did these pagans run water all around the place? Wait a second, we don't even have flushing toilets, but these godless Romans had flushing toilets. Like, what's going on there? What was that all about? What's this mystical world of the past? The Europeans, the medieval Europeans, in some sense, sat in the shadow of Rome up until the Industrial and Scientific Revolutions, which came very, very much at the end. And so this is what happened. This got put into place. Now, something amazing happened at this point. Society scaled. Society scaled rapidly. So all of a sudden you had the scaled mechanization of farming, which meant that you could harvest huge volumes of food. And you could then build these massive factories to create huge amounts of clothes, huge amount of items. You could use all these machines, these scientific mechanistic machines, to build factories and stuff like this. And all of a sudden, Western society took over or lapped Rome. Went beyond Rome within 100, 200 years. It was super fast. And the populations just went nuclear, you know, went absolutely insane. Rome was incomprehensible to people in the medieval world because it had a million inhabitants back in the day. Nowadays we have what, 8 billion people on Earth? And when the Industrial Revolution was kicking off, that was what you're seeing happen, is the number just shot up. Now there's always a problem with this stuff, because when you scale fast, when anything grows, it has a problem of replication. Quantity is always at odds with quality. Okay, so if you want more of something, it means that you might be almost always going to be eventually getting less quality. You know, you should always aim for quality and quantity if you can, but generally speaking, you're going to see stuff like this. So what happens is that if I'm running a city and all of a sudden you say to me, right, we're going to have a million more people show up in London. So maybe I'm the mayor of London. We're going to have a million more people show up in London. You're like, oh, fuck. You have to figure an awful lot of difficult problems out very, very quickly. Boring problems. The stuff that people don't, you know, you're just like, I want to study philosophy. I want to talk about rappers or some shit like this. And it's like, these are the people doing the real work. They're sitting there in their cities and they're trying to say to themselves, how do we feed a million new people when we don't have the infrastructure and modern agriculture? How do we do these type of things? So what happens is a million people show up into the cities so that they can staff the factories. And you have all sorts of innovations that pop up around this time as well. The education system, for example, the Prussian model education system designed to take farmers and move them into industrial cities in Prussia. So the reason why you complain that school is brainwashing, it's like, yes, it actually is. It is designed to turn you into a robot, an automaton that pulls a lever in a factory. That was the premise of it. The reason why there's a bell, Saved by the Bell, the reason why there was a bell on the top of all the classes is because in factories they have bells. The reason why it's 9 to 5, 5 days a week is because factories work 9 to 5, 5 days a week. That was the working order and the working week. And so they come up with this, the way that they can educate people. But of course, this destroys the old point of classical education, which was the sophisticated manifestation of an individual's potential, teaching them the articulate skills of speaking, writing, how to present themselves. This gives them the political power to do speeches, to speak in politics, to sell, to communicate with people, the higher skills, the skills that generate you super massive amounts of wealth, make you super powerful. All of these skills are forgotten about, and instead you're just sat in and you're given information and made follow a set of orders. This creates the premise for the modern school system, the schooling of the slaves, the schooling of the working class, as they became to know, the labor forces, as they became known. And so all these people go into these and they get educated in this really crude and fast way. And then you've got the problem with food, you know, and you wouldn't think of this stuff, would you? You wouldn't think of this when you're reading your fucking Nietzsche. This is what you need me, motherfuckers. This is what you need me. I can see things no one else can see. I've got that generative imagination where I can imagine, I can see across horizons. I can put things together that no one can put. This is creativity, man. This is neural connections that are going on in here. So you go in and you say to yourself, all right, well, I've got the education sorted out. Well, how are we going to feed people then? And you're like, I don't know, just give them bread. Yeah, just feed them, like send them to McDonald's. McDonald's doesn't exist, you dummy. None of that stuff is there. We're trying to figure this stuff out. It's the first time any of these things have went into order. So what you have to sit down and say to yourself, fuck. Well, we'll try milk. We'll try bread, these type of things. Now, there's problems with this. Like, of course, you can go and you can milk all the cows, getting all the cows' boobs and all that. And you're like, this is going to go to the city. And the cow's like, why are you doing this to me, you evil bastard? You can go do all that stuff and that works. And you can bring all this milk into the cities. But there's always problems, things that you don't think about because you're not a high priest Brahmin like myself. So you get these massive truckers, tankers full of milk and you bring them into the city. But what happens if one of the cows has a flu? One of the cows is sick. One of the cows is a bit sick and its milk is a bit kind of gammy. Gammy milk, as we say. And you get that one bottle of gammy milk or that one bucket of gammy milk and you throw it into that big tanker and then it blends and it spreads this bacteria into all the other milk. Now all of a sudden you've poisoned 50 to 100,000 people with this disease and then they're now in the city coughing and all this shit. And then it spreads and then the whole city has a pandemic and you're like, fuck, what have I done? You dummy. So what these people figure out to do is they figure out that they need to pasteurize the milk. Pasteurizing is basically boiling it. And so what we start to get is food processing. Whereas, you know, you see an awful lot of people nowadays like drink raw milk and all this. You're getting scammed to drink pasteurized milk. And it's true, you are getting scammed. Raw milk is better for you. It's full of more native bacteria. There's more availability of certain nutrients within milk. There's some peptides and stuff in raw milk that is literally not even existent in pasteurized milk. And it's even worse than that. Modern pasteurized milk is not great, but it's not even nearly as bad as it might have been back then. Back then, they used to process the milk so intensely. This is a story from America that I heard, that they processed the milk so intensely that it came out blue. It literally just lost all qualities of milk and it became this sort of blue liquid. And what they had to do was add chalk back into it in order to make it white again. And I think it's actually still like that in certain extreme processing plants in America. You see this in Europe, and they've got this stuff called ultra-high temperature milk. And it's stuff that doesn't go off. So, like, you know, most milk is in the fridge. Fresh milk is in the fridge, even the pasteurized stuff. And you go to Europe, and you find this milk on just, like, you know, in the middle of the store. And it's sitting out in the heat, and usually, you know, hot parts of Europe and stuff like that. And you're kind of looking at that, and you're like, that can't be right. That can't be right. And you look at it, and it's like, you know, Leuta, or whatever the Italians call it, Lecce or Lecce. And it says UHT, ultra high temperature. And you get a lot of this in France. And this means that it's just been incinerated. And you taste that stuff, and it's just not right. There's something off about it. You're sipping on that, and you're like, this ain't food, man. There's something off about this. This is nuclear bombed food. You know, it's just, there's something eerie about it when you're drinking it. And so what happens is many, many instances like this happen. Wheat is another one. So, for example, you've probably heard of sourdough before. You make wheat by leaving it out and letting it ferment, and then actually makes it a more healthy product, cuts out many of the sugars, actually solves many of the problems with gluten and whatnot. But of course, making sourdough bread is very, very difficult. It's very individual, very specific. And if you want to feed a million people, you can't use that. So we use baker's yeast. And then, everybody has a gluten intolerance. It's like, how do people have gluten intolerances nowadays when for 4,000 years, society ran off people eating bread? Explain that to me. How is that happening exactly? What's going on there? What's the situation there? Has wheat all of a sudden become dangerous? Maybe it has. Maybe there's glyphosate on the wheat because they're trying to mass produce so much wheat. Maybe it's the way that they use the baker's yeast. I don't know. Point being is that when you're trying to deliver all this food and feed all these hungry fucks, you have to lower the quality of the food. And it's not necessarily some evil plan. It's maybe there's a manipulative plan where they're trying to sterilize it with it for the New World Order. But you can see how it could also not be. It doesn't really matter what way you look at it. These processes, the incentives, the urgency leads to this type of sloppiness, leads to these type of compromises. Now, what happens then is you're inside the city, you've got shitty nutrition, terrible food. You're stuck in a factory nine hours a day. You might even be in a coal mine or something like that. You're miseducated, uneducated. And your life is horrible. You're not getting any nutrition. And when you're not getting any nutrition, you're in a situation of inflammation. You're eating all these aluminium-filled tin cans of, like, Spam and stuff like this. You're getting inflammation. You might even getting poisoning of sorts. You're not getting any nutrients from your food. You're drinking your blue milk, and you're getting sick. There's this education has taught you all this nonsense about the world. You're stuck in a factory job where you don't get to see the sun at all. You're never seen outside. You're worked to death, basically. By the time you're 30, you're just spent at that point. And your quality of life is just horrific. It's just terrible. And what starts to boil up inside of you is ferocious resentment. Ferocious resentment. And of course, this is the context where someone like Marx shows up. Because Marx shows up and he sees the horrible conditions of these poor bastards in the European cities. And it's like child labor, in London they're dipping kids down chimneys and stuff like this. You're like, oh my fucking God, what is going on here? People are sad, people look sickly, they look feeble, they're weak, they've got all these terrible things happening to them. Now, this is very important, because what starts to happen is that these people are trapped in the matrix themselves. Their instincts are completely suppressed, and they're turned into these sort of slaves for the capitalists. And Marx starts to spin this story for them. This is how these mass movements happen. People spot the resentment of the many, they tell a good enough story, and the resentment of the many can get motivated and acted. Marxism starts to spread all across Europe. The specter that was descending over Europe, communism, Marxism, this idea, it eventually took over Russia because it spoke to these exact anxieties, these exact experiences with it. People, these super cities turn into these just cauldrons of resentment and unhealth. And there's a huge amount of causes of this. There's a huge amount of things flowing into this. And it's very, very difficult to understand how to solve this and what to make of this stuff. And it's almost like impossible to stop it, because these trends and these incentives are inevitable. It's not like the capitalists are going to close their factories. It's not like many people are able to even motivate themselves to get organized in order to think something like this. This is the transformation of mankind into cattle, as Nietzsche talked about. Liberalism is the transformation of mankind into cattle, because everybody becomes democratic, they all flood into these cities, and then they get reduced, they get de-evolved, they start to get morphed into something very sickly. And this is absolutely true. A couple of generations then, during the World War One, fast forward to World War One, so this all happens in the 18th and 19th century, fast forward to World War One, and the British Army goes in and tries to get a couple of recruits for the war, I think out of Manchester, I can't remember where I read this now specifically, but they go in and they're trying to look for people to fight. And most of these people in the inner cities can't even pass the medical exams. They can't pass the fighting exams. The fighting fit young men, none of them can pass it. They're all so frail. They're all so weak. Their food is just so absent of nutrients. They're never in the sun. That they're decrepit. They have generationally evolved into golems. They're sickly. You ever see it where people have these receding jaws that people always make fun of the Brits? They're like, oh, the British with their terrible teeth. It's like, well, that's because they industrialized first. It's because they were smart enough to create factories, create machines. Create industry first. But of course it kind of backfired on them because they achieved that means that they could industrialize their food and create beans on toast and become a nation of beans on toast eaters. And of course there's no nutrients in beans on toast. There's no nutrients in super pasteurized foods, industrialized foods. And so that's where you get all these receding jaws, all these weak chins, all these droopy eyes, the British face that people always talk about. That's like, you know, the hilarious lower class British face that's brutally signaled as a sign of like degeneracy. And it is actually true. That's what is happening. Generatively, people are degenerating. They're getting uglier. They're falling apart. There's been even a guy, Western Price, who went around and tried to study this stuff because as he saw the American diet get standardized and get industrialized and many of these food processing techniques started to appear in the American diet, he was a dentist. He started to notice stuff like this, that out of nowhere, kids were just coming in and they had like all these gangly teeth that they were sticking out in all directions. Their jaws, they're turning into incels. They're turning into the chuds. They were like all getting blackpilled and realizing that they need to look max, but they can't. And this was the transformation of mankind into something lower. The wolves were now becoming the pugs. These people who lived on farms and had plenty of K2 rich cheese, loads of raw milk full of bacteria, yogurt, fresh meats, fruits, sunlight, air, free time, health, exercise, and all this type of stuff. These people were being hoovered up into the cities and bewitched by the dreams of the big city and going and living in the big city and becoming decrepit, becoming small, becoming spindly, becoming horrible, hunching over. They're like all these golems inside the cities, inside these dark Marxist caves. They're there. There's these little cults of Marxism. Well, they're all hunched up with their gangly fingers, all hating on themselves, hating because they're like botched abortions of life. They're these little slaves sort of capitalist psychosis. They're little slaves to the industry. They're feeble and they're in pain and they're struggling and all this. And this is what man had begun to become morphed into. And this sets the premise for what Nietzsche is talking about with The Last Man. That was a rant and a half, but this is the reason why I need this rant, is to set the stage for what's going on, because this is a historical process. Man has been going through this process. Evolution is always happening. We are always adapting and evolving. And you're hearing two big stories at the moment. You're hearing this idea that we must go back, we return to Christianity, and you're hearing this idea that we are progressing forward, we're going into the future, and the future is ultimately bright and good. Now, the going back is denial of the fact that evolution is happening and we are morphing and we are transmorphing and we must deal with reality as it is. The only way out is true. And going forward into this denial, this naive progress, is also denying the reality of how evolution is affecting us. Because we say, we make up these nonsense ideas that because we're getting maybe more liberal, more democratic, because people are becoming more equal inside of our heads, conceptual equality, not actual equality, because this is all happening, that we are actually progressing. Because our machines are getting more advanced, we are progressing. But in truth, this process of industrialization, the mechanistic and equalizing experience of mankind, is transforming, is doing something to us. Over the generations, it is morphing us into this golem, this unhealthy golem. This is where you see many of these people in these industrialized societies. This is where you see in the West, a demoralized, weak people, a weak and unhealthy people who hate themselves, doubt themselves, are full of all these big ideas of equality, this policy and politics of resentment that is ever so present, and this feebleness inside them all these type of problems as a consequence. This is the stage set for what we understand as the last man. So as this industrialization process rolls forward, actually many of these conditions end. Okay, the cities, people work really, really hard to make the cities better, to get smarter about the way that they're serving food. And actually, many of these things flip to turn to our advantage. The abundance of food that we create actually raises the protein levels that people can have. And so people actually grow taller than their parents and their grandparents and whatnot. And there are instances of people getting bigger. There are positives to this. There's always positives. You want to be affirmative towards life. And what happens is we enter into an era of abundance. Marxism sort of just doesn't work in the West because they industrialize is and achieve abundance, and enough people are sort of getting liberated by the abundance, which is actually a good thing overall. Now, then this leads to a new problem, because again, this evolutionary process is always happening. It's always morphing us. It's always changing us. So we have now overcome the suffering. We've avoided maybe being golems, although an awful lot of people become golems. But there is also a way out now, because now we have an abundance of food. At least people can get healthily fed. People work really hard to make the education system better. It's very difficult to create these institutions. It takes a long time to put all this stuff together. But people make slow progress in these things. They get a little bit better. Baby steps. Better, this type of thing. Now, there comes a very serious problem, though, and this is where we really get the predicate for the last man in his absolute sense. At this point of abundance, man is no longer faced with maybe the problems of the past, even the Industrial Revolution problems. It's no longer about lack of resources, lack of nutrients, scarcity, enslavement, punishment, pain. It's no longer about the struggle against nature, the worry of famine, all these type of things. Instead, man gets to fight against something that he's just not really that used to experiencing, which is he has too much abundance. He is too free. He has too many things going for him. There's too much food. There's too much entertainment. There's too much stimulants. And this sets us up for the modern world. This is when we begin to roll into like the 50s and 60s, 70s and 80s. This is where there is food everywhere. And of course, many of these problems are still sort of existing. So I'm sure there's like poisonous food and stuff like that, and food lacking nutrients. But what becomes the bigger danger is our culture, our habits, our inability to regulate what we are, our inability to regulate our appetites, our inability to regulate our laziness, our dopamine systems. And we start to get addicted to all these horrific things. We start to stare at the TV the whole time. We stop being able to think for ourselves. Man propagates and builds his whole reality about sustaining stimulation, dopamine, and happiness for himself. He sits in his couch. He starts to become overweight. People become overweight en masse for the first time in history, and you see this stuff happening the most now. We start getting to the diseases of abundance. You know, we start to get more diabetes and stuff like this. These crazy diseases start to show up like this. People start to overeat, all these types of problems. Then, and serious consequences, new consequences come as a result of this. People begin to litter. People begin to throw out all their crap. They begin to buy all these meaningless consumerist products and start fucking out the plastics and all this type of stuff and fill the Pacific Ocean up with all this junk, all this, you know, post-capitalist nonsense. Someone built this entire factory, enslaved half the world, enslaved probably some Chinese workers as well, just to build some weird little trinket, and it's covered in 10 layers of packaging, and you just fire it in your bin, and it ends up choking some poor turtle out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or something like this. This is what starts to happen. Our processes, the evolutionary process, pushes us towards this. And what you start to see is the rise of a much more sinister problem, a much more uncool, much less sexy, a much more boring problem. And it is the rise of the cowardice in man, the comfort-loving nature in man, the man who loves well-being, the pussy, the soft man, the lazy man, the complacent man. He starts to get selected by this reality. Society becomes capitalist in the sense of marketing, in the sense of flattering the consumer. And the consumer becomes the centerpiece of all our efforts and all our construction. The way you make money and you break out of the rat race is by learning to create a product that bewitches the minds of the consumer of some sort. This is what we build the entire society on. This is what like Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg and all these people are doing. These giant internet projects are just consumer study projects. This is what it's all about. Figuring out how to speak to a market and shove some dildo down their throat is how you're going to make yourself rich. And society gets built around exploiting the vices of the masses and manipulating and twisting the vices of the masses. And so the average man gets morphed into this arrogant, delusional, comfort-loving, complacent coward who just stuffs his gullet and sits watching TV all day. And this is the manifestation of the last man. This is the true representation of what we're starting to see. And this becomes a very serious danger, because this guy is castrating human potential. This guy is making decisions and choices that are going to sink the whole ship. You have the labor of thousands of years, the struggle to industrialize, the struggle to maintain order throughout the medieval eras, the struggle to build Rome, the struggle of all of prehistory, the struggle of every single, you know, the first men who were decided that they're going to use higher thinking instead of acting like apes and acting like animals, the first hunters to get organized in tribes, the first inventions of the wheel reveal of technology and all this. All of this stuff has led to this moment where this guy shows up and he decides to suffer all that labor and all that interest and all that struggle so that he can sit down, eat McDonald's and watch porn so he can be comfortable and sit in his room. Society lends and leads and tilts everybody to become this. And this becomes a disaster because all of a sudden now man is turning into a blob, the blob man, the pod man, the man with no future. What can this man do? His IQ is dropping. He's eating all this inflammatory food. He's eating all this crap, all these polyunsaturated fats, all these seed oils. Man is becoming something low. And this brings us to a very simple idea, my friends. This is the story that we're in right now. We have the abundance of the industrial society that is able to empower us to do incredible things. We can get so much food, so much nutrients, so much power, so much technology. We can harvest all the possibilities of science. And the thing is that some people just don't have the spirit in them to use that. They don't have it in them. They are complacent. They are lazy. They are cowardly. They don't have large ambition. They don't want to do anything with that. You could sit down and explain to them all the possibilities they could do with their life. You could be like, you could be an Ubermensch. We could transform you into a superhuman. You could be something beyond Achilles, beyond Julius Caesar. You would be somebody that nobody has ever seen before. We can use CRISPR to raise your IQ. We can feed you vitamin K2 from when you were born so that you grow up with like a jaw, like some type of American Dad character. We could transform you into something, a specimen, a Greek god, a specimen of glory and majesty, a specimen of creativity and intelligence we've never seen before. We could make you into an angel. Your generations, your children could live to be 7 foot tall, 250 pounds of pure lean muscle. They could be super athletes, mathematicians, every single one of them, all been able to play the most advanced Chopin on their piano. We could do anything. We have so much power in our hands if you would just use it. And they will look at you and they will blink. They will look at you and they will blink with an empty head and they will say, sorry, there's a Netflix show on that I'm busy watching. And they'll go down there and they'll start stuffing their face with their Doritos and their eyes will begin to inflame and they'll cocoon themselves. They'll cocoon themselves back in their complacency and their safety. And they'll be like, you know what? I don't mind sacrificing my potential. I don't mind sacrificing the potential of my children. I don't mind sacrificing the whole project of mankind up to this point to my entertainment, to my safety, to me stuffing my gullet, to me being a useless eater. I will just sit here like a blob and let it all happen. So what if all of our values are getting twisted and morphed and transforming Western society into this mess that you see around us? I don't care. As long as I am fed, as long as I am happy, I am content. I am content and I sit here in my content and I do not want to be a part of any of your projects. I just want to be stuffed. And this is what it means to pursue the Ubermensch. You have to go in rebellion to this instinct, this laziness within man. In an era of abundance, where there's no pressure from nature, you must impose that pressure upon yourself. And you'll notice that when you bring up ideas like this, immediately, it's like pulling up a rock and seeing all these ugly, decrepit instincts, the bug man just wriggling and screaming. You say something like self-discipline. You say like something like imposing domination upon yourself so you can crush your weakness out of yourself and transform into something higher. And immediately people will be like, fascism, toxic masculinity. They'll start flittering and screaming. They'll start saying that you're some type of demon upon earth because you're trying to rattle them out of their complacency and their comfort. You're trying to rattle them out of their sickness and bring them towards health, bring them towards great health, health beyond anything that people see nowadays, health where your metabolism is whirring so loud that your IQ races up by 25 points, health where your hormones are screaming so powerfully that you feel constant surges of energy, not this health that people think nowadays where it's like, yo, I'm healthy, man, you're fucking wired on SSRIs, you're a drain on the taxpayer, taking all these statins that are subsidized by the government, full of all sorts of fucking pills, eating crap, you're not healthy at all, you're just medicated and subjugated, you are sitting down there as a slave who's been put to sleep and is in a state of not pain, a sort of neutral numb state, comfortably numb on the couch, telling yourself that that's health. Health should be filled with fire. You should be screaming. You should be roaring about the fact that the horizon has not been conquered yet. That's what health is. Health is someone who has a vision for the future. Health is when you're trying to punch a hole in your laptop to try and manifest the astral plane even faster if you can possibly do it. Health is when you're roaring with fire and beauty. That's what health is. Not what you have. But here comes the danger. Here comes Zarathustra's great fear. The last man is going to not only sacrifice the past, but he's going to sacrifice you. He is like the crab in the bucket that is going to pull you down from reaching that potential. He is the one that doesn't want you to ever experience that health. He wants to make you like him. He wants to impose upon you therapy. He wants to impose upon you SSRIs. He would mandate medical procedures if he had the power. He wants to castrate you when you're a child. He wants to impose upon you thinking patterns that leave you depressed. He wants you to believe all these things. He wants you to force you to watch the entertainment and the brainwashing. The last man is a horrific, petty person. He's not just some innocent, naive, happy-go-lucky guy who sits on the couch. He's much, much more cynical than that because he is in pain. The last man sits there and the inflammation is screaming through his body. So he's in this state of anxiety and depression to begin with, based on the problems of how he's eating, the polyunsaturated fats crushing his metabolism. His metabolism is dropping down, so his body does not run. There's no energy. There's no life force within his body. So he is slow. He's lethargic. He can't think through things. And then on top of that as well, his instincts still live within him because life gives no rights to slaves. Life gives no rights to any of that stuff. Life hates a loser. And so life will scream inside of him. His soul will say to him, you should be better. You should be stronger. You should be faster. Why are you not running without winning the fields? Why am I not out in the sun? Am I a slave? Why am I hunched over like this all the time? What is happening here? Life will think there's something wrong. Life will give him status anxiety. Life will scream up into his head and tell him all these problems with himself. He will be tortured. And this will manifest in that same resentment that possessed the people with Marxism. But this resentment will be confusing to him. He won't understand it. He'll be dejected. He'll be in denial of life. He'll hate life because life to him is just an experience of pain. Despite the fact that he has all this escapism, despite the fact that he has all this comfort, life is an experience of crushing mediocrity, quiet desperation, quiet discontent, quiet fatness. He just sits down there stuffed, mildly depressed and addicted to porn, hating himself and trapped in this sort of schizophrenic madness, this schizophrenic complacency and mediocrity. He takes no responsibility and will to burst free from this. And so what he needs to do is he has all this pain, this anguish sourced inside of himself, and there's no God, there's no Christianity to dissipate this with a symbol of sacrifice like Christ. There's no way that he can project that emotion upon a scapegoat like Christ and allow that feeling of resentment to flutter out into the astral plane and have all of man saved through Christ's ability to placate him. Instead, he just sits there as an atheist on Reddit, scrambling away on Reddit, projecting his hate onto Reddit, whining and complaining, calling all sorts of crazy names to other people, talking about bodybuilders as this conglomerate of insane fascists. He just rattles, he sprattles, he smashes away. And he hates all expressions of life. He hates everything that is not like him. He becomes a rebellion against this. He becomes a rebellion against all people who do not feel like him. He wants to bring everybody down into his tragedy. He creates a religion out of the tragedy of his life. He starts to associate all these strange ideas with his feeling of pain. He breaks down into tears thinking about things like compassion. And he says to himself that he's a compassionate person. He says to himself that he's someone with the strongest empathy the world has ever seen. He's a good person. He's got a good soul. Because of course, you're always going to tell yourself this. And he starts to create all these names for himself. And he says that people who don't feel this type of compassion, people who don't, you know, bond with the tragedy of being overweight, or the bond with the tragedy of not having strength, or bond with the tragedy of not being weak, people who don't identify with being a victim, people who try to seek for the higher, they are hateful. They don't believe in them. And they must be destroyed. They must be pulled down. They must be ostracized from the society. They must be annihilated. They must be crushed. All people who try to rise must be pulled back down. Yes, these people will pull you down. They are coming for your potential. They don't care if they pull you down and leave you depressed without ambition. They're trying to suck you back into a more primitive form of man, a less ambitious form of man, a comfort-loving form of man. The herd animal within man triumphs through the modern age. Just like when Christianity took over Rome and then Rome fell, what happened is there was a dark age. There was no progress. There was no charging towards the utopian kingdom of heaven. It just did not happen. Instead, it sank down into ignorance. All the knowledge was eradicated and banned. People got trapped, and it took them 1,000 years to figure out what was going on again before they could begin to ascend through science once again. And this is the same situation you see in front of you. The same problem you have now. The pettiness within man is becoming a mass pandemic, a mass disease. And that reminds me, if you want a tangible manifestation of this, it's already happened to you. You've already seen how this stuff can work. You've already seen the extent of the meanness and the pettiness and the arrogance and the cruelty
within these people. Remember, the cruelty of the weak, the vengeance of the weak is far more profound and deep and aggressive and long-standing than the master's power, the master's aggression. It's a far more dangerous entity that you're dealing with. So what happened over the last 2 years? What happened to your life? You were there and you were walking around your life and people turned around to you and began to force you to comply. They began to force you to be afraid. They began to herd you inside. They enslaved the entire planet. They shut them all up inside. They got everybody trapped. It's absolutely fascinating what went down. They were able to impose this power upon people. And they might have been doing it out of a genuine anxiety about what was going on, but it was fascinating to see the people react to this. I know people. I had my arguments with plenty of people during this time. And I noticed something in people. I noticed a... people might call it a power trip. People felt for the first time, maybe in their lives, that they could righteously express fury and vitriol towards people who were maybe, you know, trying to live free, trying to live healthy. I'm a very healthy guy. I take very, very good care of myself. And I remember going into a shop one day and someone massively overweight demands that I go as far away from them as possible. They started, you know, basically shouting at me and saying, you know, step out of my way and stuff like this. And this crudeness, it was, there was no politeness in it. You know, you could have asked me nicely, I would have happily stepped out of the way. But instead there was this vitriol, there was this scream, there was this monstrosity of someone who has never taken care of their health once in their life, all of a sudden demanding for the sake of their health that I, you know, bow to them almighty, that I cuckold myself, that I am castrated, that my instincts are suppressed in favor of their anxiety and their fear. Their anxiety, their fear, their vitriol, their meanness and their pettiness becomes superordinate over any of my instincts for freedom, my instincts for worry about this situation and how it relates to, for example, the overreach of power and whatnot, my anxiety about these type of things, my desire to be respected, my desire to be treated like someone who is intelligent and sophisticated and should be worth speaking to with politeness. All of this stuff gets cast aside for the pettiness of this person who does not take care of themselves. Their resentment becomes manifest. I knew many people throughout this. The most sickly people I knew tended to be the biggest believers and the most intense enforcers. The people who would, you know, speak very, very harshly towards you, criticize you, call you stupid, call you ignorant, speak down to you, to talk about how they are, you know, they you would go into shops and stuff like this and people will walk over to you and tell you to follow the rules, and you would ask them to explain rationally why you should follow the rules in the way that they're particularly demanding it, that you think it's excessive that the way they're demanding this type of stuff. And they, of course, would break down and have no rationalizations or justifications for this. They obviously aren't intelligent enough to think it true, and they would just say to you, well, it's I'm doing what I'm being told. It's compliance. It's mass compliance in a grand scale. You see this pettiness, this meekness, this weakness. You see this patheticness, and you see underneath it all a brutal complacency, a brutal vengeance inside of it, an aggression towards life. These people don't give a fuck if you were trapped inside during your 20s, during the peak of your life, during your teenage years, your 20s, even your 30s. During the most important years of your life, you were locked inside for 2 years and couldn't do anything. You couldn't go out. You couldn't explore. Some people couldn't even walk outside. It was like living in a prison. And you were trapped inside this context. Look what was going on in Australia and stuff like this. And you are in a terrible position. This is destroying your life. It's castration. Your life, choking your life. But these people don't care, because all their lives are sitting on the fucking couch, going on Reddit, watching Netflix, going on the internet for a little bit every day and ordering in Uber Eats. They don't need the real world. They don't need people out there. They hate people out there. They hate the happiness of people. They hate going out and seeing people having sex and having fun and hanging out with people and partying. They hate people living. They hate seeing people go to the gym. Gyms are dirty places to them. They want that stuff pulled apart. It's not like the gym is going to keep your immune system boosted and strong. Instead, no, we want to take that away from you. We want to take all operations of your life away from you and lock you in your home. You must stay in your home. You must become a prisoner. You must become like me. You must become like me. Do you understand? This is what they're doing. They are pulling you down. And of course, luckily, people didn't get too schizophrenic and insane with this, and eventually the back broke and all this stuff. But this is going to happen again. These forces are superordinate. They are currently present in our reality. The meanness and the pettiness of the many. The vengeance and spite inside these people will become manifest again, and they're always going to be grabbing at your potential. They're always going to be grabbing at the possibility of you being ambitious. All the values, the master morality that you hold, will get sacrificed to their slave morality, and mankind, as Zarathustra said, will get pulled to this ever powerful down force. This is the dark age coming again, where people are getting pulled. All higher virtues like ambition, creativity, freedom, free thinking, these are all the things that created this great society, created the progress of science, created the Industrial Revolution, created all the high art. None of that stuff's coming back. Instead, it's all going to be sacrificed towards the superstition, towards the pettiness of the many. Herd morality, slave morality. This is what happened in the Dark Age. It was the pulling downwards into the unconscious slave morality and the superstition of the masses. And this is what's happening to you right now. The last man is becoming superordinate and sacrificing your future and all of the past for their complacency, their safety, their meanness, their desire to just preserve life as it is, like they were a yeast infection stuck in the wall, a piece of bacteria, a disease just eating on a higher mammal. They don't give a fuck. They're just sitting there and they just want to feel validated in their arrogant little egos, and they want to feel this petty ego and self-conception that they have. They want to see that flattered, and they want to just be stuffed and fed and left alone. That's all they care about. And they're willing to take all dreams away from you. The whole idea of making it to space, to going to Mars, they don't give a fuck about that. They want that to be pulled out of your reality. They want you down here with them in the chaos, in the darkness. They want you asleep, in pain and suffering with them, because then you'll understand. Then they feel that you'll be able to empathize with them when you feel as much pain as they feel. That's how they're going to make you understand them, by making you equal to them. I found this so profound when I saw it, because Nietzsche, 100 years before everybody else, painted this picture that came true. We're always sort of looking for a meaning. This is why everybody got on board with Jordan Peterson, and we sort of were led to believe with Jordan Peterson that what's wrong is that God has died, and that we're in this chthonic struggle where we have to try resurrect the symbol of God, and that's going to quote unquote save us and stuff like this. And this is, you see, this is sort of turning into a thing right now. You've got the salvation gurus, the messianic gurus, the saviors of the young guys, the lost boy generation, that type of thing. Because there is an awful lot of young lads who have their instincts, have that fire inside their belly, and it wants them to go and pursue life. Their instincts want them to pursue life, and of course this would make them express their masculinity. So this is why an awful lot of these people are masculinity gurus, because a man expressing his life force is going to act masculine, just like a woman expressing her life force is going to act feminine. These are the archetypes, these are the ways that you're going to act. This is the way that your instincts have been aligned, it's the way your hormones have been built, everything about you. And the problem is that modern society is a libidinous trap. I think it was Mr. Meme Analysis was talking about this. You've got to be wary of modern society, because it's this libidinous sponge. Was it the digital anima? Was there the libidinous sponge trying to suck up your life force, suck it up into all these things and direct you in the wrong direction? And I've always had this spiel where I've been like, your instincts, trust your gut, bro. Basically cut it down. Trust your instincts, trust your gut. You got to listen to your own gut. And people are really bad at this, because what's interesting is that your own gut is a fucking psychopath. Your own gut is so severe, so brutal, so aggressive, so ambitious. Your gut instincts, your gut passion, your masculine life force, the will to power inside of you would literally rather you die than live a slave. And what happens is that when you enslave yourself, when you cuckold yourself, when you're a coward, when you're afraid to talk to a girl, when you're afraid to go for what you want, when you let the people, when you let the last man bicker at you, and then you cower up and shell up and become a little fucking girl and don't stand up for what you believe in, when you allow compromise to come into your life, your life force dies and it turns on you. Your animating force, your anima, dies within you. The fire goes out and then it turns on you, and it begins to criticize you inside your own head, and you hear all these negative voices, you have this negative self-talk, and you listen to fucking stoicism and all this shit trying to explain to you, and cognitive behavioral therapy to how to deal with this bullshit negative self-talk, and you start to beat yourself up and you get depressed. You lack life force and it starts to choke out of you, and you start to morph into the last man. You start to become Gollum, holding safety in your hand, going, my precious, as a Sauron links his ring down upon your neck, as Sauron puts the magic ring of usury, the magic ring of mind washing and brainwashing, the magic ring of super narratives that control your mind, as he puts it on you and you get fascinated with it. You see your potential to, you know, maybe mortgage out your house and be seen as cool on Instagram or something like this, and you say to yourself, that's it, that's what I want to become. I could sit here and watch Netflix, I could be safe for the rest of my life, this vision of what my life could be, that's amazing. I'm just going to never bite the hand
standard feeds, never listen to my instincts, stand up for what I believe, and I'm going to take the SSRIs. I'm going to bow down on the floor and worship the New World Order. I believe, I am found, I am saved, I believe. This is what is happening with people, and it's all coming down to denial of instincts. And the brutal fact is, like, to be real with people, it's very hard to speak as this sort of savior of all of mankind. It's a very, very difficult thing to say, because the reality is that most people are going to have to compromise. You're never really going to be able to release your instincts to their full extent. You're never going to be able to express yourself in that type of way. Like, you know, nature is brutal. Most people fail. Most people get suckled down. The last man is going to exist, you know? There's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to choose the comforts of life, and that is just how it is. And there's an awful lot of people who are not going to have the ambition to be able to escape this, and they're going to have to live lives of compromise. They're going to have to watch their passions get consumed. They're going to have to make peace with being depressed. They're going to have to make peace with being resentful. They're not going to make peace with it, but they're going to live these lives anyway. Life is unbelievably harsh and brutal. People just aren't in tune with this at all. They can't discipline their mind to this stuff. It's like so much of this stuff I see, I'm talking to people all the time. I'm helping them, training them, coaching them, and I see all this frantic energy inside of people. Entitlement, you know? I deserve. It's like a baby, you know? And it's like, man, go out into the world. Go and watch Nature is Metal. Go out and watch. I was watching a spider eat a fly the other day, and it's just so maliciously brutal. It's so horrifically harsh. This poor little fuck of a fly is just buzzing around, like, zzz, 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 and just gets caught. And the spider sucks out its the spider stabs it with a needle, interestingly, and then when it stabs it with this needle, it injects inside of it digestive fluid and melts its insides while it's still alive, and then drinks it like a smoothie. And the fly is just there twitching, just being buzzing away, being like, what the actual fuck, getting cocooned up. Like, it's so intense watching what's going on. And the mass of men are going to live lives of quiet desperation. The mass of men are going to gut themselves like cattle. And it's so hard to stand around and understand that your problem might not be that there's a death of God. Your problem might not be that there's that there's, you know, some type of evil ideology coming to get you. Like, these things, there's certainly something to these things, you know. But I think before all of those things, your problem is that you're weak. Your problem is that you're the last man. That there's a part of you that's just not worthy of succeeding. That you're just a failure. Your spirit is a failure. You're not ambitious. You don't fight hard enough. You're the fly. You know, like, that's all you're good for. You're good for getting digested and eaten by somebody who's better. You should be consumed, and your energy and power should be given to somebody who's more worthy. And this is what slavery is all about. This is what the nature is all about. This is why people get enslaved, and people are always going to get enslaved because nature works this way. And most people deserve slavery, just like the poor fly. Like, I guess it's hard to say deserve, but it's just sort of like, it's going to happen. The fly was not good enough and smart enough to escape the spider, and it's horrible and it's not fair, but it's brutally true. Just because he wasn't, the spider is going to take what he can get, and he can because he has the power to do it. And most people just don't want to free themselves. They're not serious, they're not professional, they're not intelligent, they're not sitting down and getting their head straight and thinking about actions. They don't think about results, they don't think about success, they think about their feelings. They flop around in sloppiness and incompetence. They don't take serious in all their skills. They're entitled, they're arrogant, they want to complain, they want to sit around being resentful, blaming somebody else for their failures. And there certainly are people who are causing your failures, but in order for you to stop them, you need to be organized and professional and capable of enacting a fight. And most people just aren't. Most people are just fucking idiots who are addicted to entertainment, either if it's social media where they complain about something and tell themselves they're enlightened, or if it's even worse and they're a complete last man where they're sitting down and, I don't know, watching some shitty Netflix or something like this. And the thing is that you have to beat that stuff out of yourself. You have to overcome that weakness inside of yourself. You have to understand that you're fucking pathetic, you know, and you have to destroy that part of yourself. And you have to know that there is something inside of you that's not like that. There is something inside of you that is beyond belief profound. It's like a flicker, like a whisper, like Rome. Whisper that you can barely hear, and you don't even want to speak it out loud because you're afraid. And some of us just cultivate that, our potential, if you want to talk about it this way. And some of us find that inside of ourselves and incubate it, and it flourishes into the incredible majesty that a successful person can be.
man has achieved such amazing things. Like, you walk through Europe and you see the great cathedrals and you see the castles and you look at all the history and you read about these great men. You know, in southern Europe, there was the Muslim invasion in Spain, and you read about, like, the fights that they went through in order to claim Spain back off the Muslims, and the fights that the Muslims did in order to claim off Spain. And the bravery is just insane. Like, people, you know, putting swords in their mouths and climbing up essentially a small mountain with a castle on top of it and, like, scaling the whole thing in the middle of the night in order to, like, leap in. It's just insanity. People are there doing these sports, like climbing and all this type of stuff, and they can barely get up a six meter wall, but these fuckers, like, chased up in armor while they were attacking people. It's just so amazing what man can do, what potential man has. But there's something about people where they like, there's so many of us sacrifice that towards our own comfort and our own safety. And this is the spirit of the last man. And I guess it's swooping over the earth right now and becoming more dominant than it's ever been before. And that's our problem. Like, we're getting consumed by mediocrity. It's so sad, but it's like, maybe there's no evil. Maybe there's no demon. Maybe it's the fact that just people are just so overwhelmingly average that the more of us that they grow, the heavier the averageness gets and just basically starts to pull down the excellent. And this, of course, is where you start to see Nietzsche's answer with the Übermensch as being so profound, because it sits down and it puts very, very clearly that, like, you need to stop being ideological about things. You need to stop trying to come up with reasons and all this. And you need to sit down and look at the world as it actually is around you and say, what would I have to do in order to make sure that in 2, 3, 4 generations, it was my ancestors, my progeny, my children, my grandchildren, who were on the ascendant, who were escaping this falling problem? Because all these last men are pulling the earth down into, you know, littering and all this crap and all this junk. How would I escape that? What's the escape velocity that I would need to achieve to do this? And in order for you to do that, you have to start thinking beyond yourself. Like, I speak to, it's so hard for me to even articulate what I'm trying to say. I speak to so many people and they're like, I'm depressed. It's like so selfish. It's like, I'm depressed. I feel bad about myself. I have bad feelings. I don't feel respected. I don't feel validated. I don't feel like I'm getting enough girls. I don't think I'm doing well enough for myself, and all this type of stuff. And it's like, me, 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 me. And it's so weird. Like, I'm not wired that way. I think culturally, I think about the big ideas. I'm here fucking ranting about Nietzsche for the only purpose is into somehow this gives me meaning, because it feels like I'm having some influence on Western man's soul, which is actually going to stir a couple of people in the right direction. There'd be so much better ways for me to spend my time if I had other tangible goals about improving my individual situation. But instead I do this, and it's because it's something that just keeps me motivated. It's something that inspires me. And this is the same with this idea of, like, generational thinking, like people who think to themselves, I want to see my four children be in a position of incredible power. I want to fight for the future. I want to make them be the people who are reaping the industrial revolution and turning themselves into iron men so that they can live for 100, 160 years, 220 years, and then start to use augmentations and superpowers so that they can expand their IQs and, you know, start to fucking jetpack around the place and essentially start to transform into gods. Because this is the potential that's sitting there. And people are so caught up in their depression and their averageness and their patheticness and the lowerness and the meekness of human spirit that they can't see what could be possible, what we could do. They just have no belief. They have no imagination. They have no inspiration. They have no will to power. They have no life force to see what incredible achievements could happen. Do you understand what it was like in the medieval world? Do you know what it would have been like to be a peasant? It would have been horrible to be a peasant. And everybody has this habit of thinking about the medieval world as if they were a peasant. This tells you something about the slave nature of modern man. Modern man is meek and pathetic, and when he looks at the past, he says, God, I'm glad I'm not in the past. It would have been shit to be a fucking peasant. Do you realize that there were people who lived in the past that were essentially cyborgs? They were supermen. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk around Europe living in a castle made of stone, and you clad in armor, you being a peak athlete who's capable of sprinting 250 meters in armor of, I don't know how much that shit would weigh, but, like, you know, 20 kilograms, able to wield a sword that you've been training to use your whole life. Do you know what you would have appeared like? Is the Terminator. You're walking around medieval Europe and you would have just been invincible. They could strike you and it would have just bounced off your armor. They could shoot you with arrows. They could throw stones. The peasants would have looked at you like a fucking robot god. You would have been so frightening, so intense, so scary. And this was the experience of the medieval knights of Europe. They were supermen. They were men beyond the people below them. They stood up, got up on their horses and rode around with supreme power, with the skills that they had. They were incredible. It must have been something else to be these type of people. Supreme warriors, alpha warriors like you've never seen before. Now, this type of stuff is completely gone, obviously, because of modern wars and the way that they're fought and modern technology and all this type of stuff. But where's the belief inside of you that something like that could be achieved again? Where's the idea that, like, all right, all this technology that we have, maybe, yeah, Netflix is pretty bad. Yeah, the social media is pretty bad. It sucks. Yeah, everybody's watching porn. It sucks. But you realize that if you get disciplined, if you start putting your ego aside and start thinking long term, you start thinking about what you could do if you start to accumulate wealth now, you start to stack it up, you start to get fucking serious about what you're doing, you start to create culture, you start to create a mindset that you can pass on to your children that's going to keep them healthy. You develop your health to make sure that you're healthy as long as possible. You become strong, you become capable and competent. You will destroy these last men people. You'll outcompete them so fast. You will just zoom past them. And then what will happen is all these industrial technologies and all these powers and all these possibilities, they'll begin to fall in your lap, because life rewards the spider. Life rewards the person who fucking goes for it, who puts themselves on the line, who takes the risk, who goes in the attack. Life rewards the lion who conquers the gazelle. Life always rewards the person and puts their best foot forward. The predator was always braver than the prey. The prey sits there and munches on its grass, and then the predator one day says, holy shit, should I try and actually attack that giant moving thing that might fight me and break my neck if it gets me wrong? And the predator always has higher IQ, it's always more intelligent, it's always braver, it's always got more of these traits. There's something supreme about this. Nature looks towards predators, people who take risks, entities that put their best foot forward. Nature rewards the brave. Fortune favors the brave. And it's this situation that we're at now, where, you know, what happens in 100, 200 years when there's life extension technology, when they've got these chemicals like resveratrol that's able to keep people alive for like 50 years longer? What happens when you've accumulated wealth over the course of three generations because you've been alive for those? Meanwhile, these last men are like stuck in the metaverse, sitting around just like, you know, having sex with like plastic robots who they think they're their girlfriend because they are installed an NPC artificial AI inside of them. Well, you're going on and living forever. These people are like turning themselves into Matrix bots and filing them away in filing cabinets. You can actually transform yourself and become something incredible. You can master yourself. You could become something that is a higher step beyond man. You could become the next level up from humanity. And you can try bring as many people along with you as you want. You don't have to be a selfish cunt about this either. You can say to yourself, like, I'm going to open doors for as many people who are positive and futuristic and believe in the future as we possibly can. I'll try to take all of society with me if I can. But all I'm saying is that I'm going for that dream. And if these people want to pull all the rest of the world down, well, fuck them. Let them humiliate themselves. Let them get caught up in their resentment. I'm either going to step outside of their madness, or I'm going to just ignore it altogether and go do my thing and build and create. And this tells you an awful lot about the mindset that is necessary to get you through this, to say to yourself, well, what's going on now? You need to block out the last man instincts inside of yourself and understand that there's a chance. There's a moment in history. You're like the Goths swooping in before Rome fell. You're like those guys that were just in the forest hanging out, and then they said, right, well, we'll just charge down and go into Rome. And then as Rome's collapsing around you, you know, just take advantage of the situation, put yourself in the right place, and end up becoming kings and the royalty of Europe that lasts for 2,000 years. And there's sort of this situation going on now. Everything's churning up and imploding. Rome is falling. And there's incredible potential for people to take advantage of this. But the thing is that you have to be good enough. It's nature. You have to be skilled, you have to be intelligent, you have to be healthy, you have to be serious, you have to be connected, you have to have a brotherhood, you have to have strength, you have to have all sorts of things. You have to have level-headedness, you have to have capacity, you have to have competence, you have to be able to make decisions, you have to be able to build things, you have to be invested, you have to be able to take action. You need to be a winner in every possible meaning of the world. And then you might be the type of person who triumphs from all of this. Then when it all falls around you, the world might fall into your lap like a ripe fruit just falling out of the tree. It falls into your hand. It's essential for you to understand the situation that's in front of you. It's immensely positive in some ways. The Ubermensch is available to you. You could be the person who steps forward into the future and gives humanity some small group of people who are going to be the vessels that fulfill humanity's potential. That's what's available. That's what's possible. The last man is the is the great danger, the great disease, the great yearning, the great nihilism. They're all nihilists. They're all empty-souled nihilists. But you could be the life affirmer. You could be the one who embraces the game in front of you. This is incredibly positive. This is white pills all around. And the thing is that it requires you to fucking work. That's the one thing. That's the one thing nobody wants to do. It requires you to get serious and build yourself, to transform yourself into something that is incredible, to maximize your potential, to find that inside of yourself and make the most out of it. So for the next while, I will be talking to you more about The Last Man and the Ubermensch. But in the meantime, you should start making this stuff real. Like, I am not saying this as a pontificator, you know? This is not just theory selling. I've put all this stuff into practice. I went into the education system, the Matrix, and I noticed very quickly that I was having narratives pumped into my head and I was not getting developed. I was not getting my capacity fulfilled in any type of way. And I hated it. I was getting critical theory, feminism shoved in front of me, and I just stopped going to classes, I stopped liking it, and eventually I dropped out. And I remember something inside of me, it was just such an interesting, this is what I mean by that potential spirit inside of you. I had that part of me that was saying, you need something beyond merely this crap. You need to have skills. Being able to theory sell, being able to read, being able to know, none of that shit matters. You need to be able to do. You need to be able to act. And I remember I dropped out, I had fuck all money, I was completely broke, and I went and I just lived in a shitty apartment. I remember sleeping on a mattress for like a year or a year and a half or so. And I dropped out of college completely, threw all that stuff away. This is actually when I actually read Nietzsche. So I sat down and I stopped reading, you know, the applied things in colleges like critical theory, Marxism and all this stuff. And I started to check out Nietzsche and stuff like this. And while I was doing that, and this is, I think, gave me a very healthy relationship with Nietzsche and Jung and all these, because I wasn't theory selling. I was just reading through him and seeing, you know, putting him to the test. I was in that sort of headspace at the time. And I went and I had whatever little cash I had, I was throwing it towards mentors. I was going to find people who could teach me skills. This is where I started learning Muay Thai. I went to a Muay Thai gym in Dublin and I was there fighting a load of Polish lads. It was quite an interesting spot. A bald Dublin lad, it was class. He used to kick the fuck out of my legs and I was hanging out with a load of Polish guys. And then I went to get people to train me to speak. That was a big deal for me. It's like learning to articulate myself, learning to speak. How do I speak in the most compelling way? I went to public speakers, I went to sales guys, I went to opera singers, I went to jazz singers, I went and learned music theory, I went to poets, I went to people who could teach writing, I went to people who teach acting. Anybody who can give me the capacity and the skills, show me how to use my head, show me how to write, show me how to articulate myself, organize my thoughts, show me all these type of things, how to sing, how to create music, what's music theory about. I developed all these. I basically gave myself a sort of a discount boyo version of the old liberal classical education. I taught myself how to do things. I taught myself how to be useful. I taught myself how to transform myself into somebody who was capable. I overcame my situation and I developed a massive array of skills at that point. And this was basically the foundation of my life. I've been essentially free from the system ever since then and basically became financially free then a while after that. And my skills stand to me. Like, I meet so many people nowadays and they're just not skilled. You know, they're depressed, they're struggling, or maybe they're just pretty kind of normal and they might have some complaints about the world. And it's like, you can't do anything. You're fucking useless. Like, what do you expect? What do you expect about being in the situation you're in? You've never sat outside and educated yourself. You've never sat outside and went for extracurricular study. Like, you know, you've never tried to develop any type of capacity. You can't speak properly. You can't write properly. You can't communicate your thoughts. You're slow. You're not articulate. You don't know how to think. You don't know business acumen. You don't know how to sell. You don't know any of these type of skills. You don't know how to negotiate. You don't know how to do anything creative. You know, you don't know how to make things. You never tried to make any things. You don't have that type of ethos and energy inside yourself. You just sit around hanging out with the boys, you know, talking about consuming culture and the content that you consume and all this type of stuff, and then maybe you complain a little bit on top of that. It's like, what are you doing? What are you actually building? What are you actually developing? And this is the great salvation for me. It was always built into my head to think this way. I was always an actor. I was always somebody who was going for it. I was trying these things out. I was developing skills. I'm always seeking skills. Even to this day, I'm constantly trying to learn new skills, figure out new things. I just broke this fucking arm. You can see my little scar there, and I spent the last while developing my jab, get my jab hand down so I can smack people in the mouth if they say something like Nietzsche's an incel. If I remember on the street again, I hear someone say, yo, I heard that Nietzsche guy. I'll walk by someone in the bar and there'll be whispers. I'm like, yeah, Joe, I was reading that Nietzsche guy and I was just thinking to myself, he's a smelly incel. I'll be like, go bang, fucking cock, jab right in the face. I was like, don't you ever say that again about my boy who lived on the mountain.
how did he get syphilis if he was an incel? That's what I'll say to them. I'll say that. It's like, riddle me this one. How did he get syphilis if he was an incel? So my point here is that if you want to transform your situation, you need to get educated and you need to get skilled. Now, what I'm doing with a lot of people is I'm teaching them skills. I'm teaching them the core skills and how to speak, teaching them the core skills and how to write, how to apply this to the world. I can teach you how to do things like sales. I can teach you how to get involved with creating content, building your personal brand. These are all massive things that have absolutely changed my life. It's really the game at the moment. Like, if you're not really putting yourself out there, sitting down and saying to yourself, how do I get my energy and my story out into the world? How do I start putting my content out there? How do I start getting people listen to my situation? You're in a position of incredible vulnerability. If you're sitting there and being a consumer, like a fucking idiot, a last man, and not putting yourself out there, not learning the skills necessary to be interesting on video, not learning the platforms and the formats that are necessary, not learning the how to articulate yourself quickly and fast, not learning how to rant like the way I rant, or how to be precise and add in these nice little like sharp intros like I'm talking about, learning how TikTok is working. I'm starting to blow up on TikTok, by the way. Go over and follow me on TikTok. Not learning the abstract skills of speaking, writing, and articulating yourself, and then applying them to a specific niche like the platforms like TikTok or Twitter or whatever you're doing, and then also learning the business skills in between that to turn it into something financial. You're getting left behind. You're someone who's not serious. You're someone who's, you know, basically becoming another victim to modernity. Someone who's stuck there, and what you have to do instead, because it's so funny, I meet people, it's like, I'm trying to dopamine fast. I'm trying to get control of my focus. I'm trying to dopamine fast and all this stuff. It's like, why are you trying to do that stuff? Stop trying to avoid the phone and just start putting stuff in the phone, and you'll be sick of the phone then. I see this, it's so fucking stupid. Productivity nonsense, productivity soy. This is what I see. It's like, all right, oh, let's all do an accountability group where we stop looking at our phones. It's like, why don't you use the fucking phone instead of going on the internet the whole time and just watching content, watching people like me? Just, you can stop watching me if you want. Just go start making stuff, you know? And go start making stuff, and you'll be the person that everybody goes to listen to. I think it might be less than 1% of people on the internet are the creators. And I think less than 1% of those creators are the actual creators that most people listen to. Meaning that if you go out there and put your voice out there and it starts to do in any way well, you become a massive cornerstone of the culture. And this is what you need to do. Like, what are you doing otherwise? There's so much potential. I know dudes becoming millionaires of just going out there and just ranting into the phone at TikTok and just talking about that random shit, or Instagram Reels, whatever the fuck you want it to do. So if you're interested in learning those skills, if you're interested in getting your head in the game, start putting yourself out there, if you're interested in overcoming the last man instincts and actually starting to become somebody who does something with your life, well then go down below. I'll have all these spare videos and free videos that explain more of this stuff, give more context on the specifics, because this is quite general and vague. And then there'll be a call where you can hop in and chat to one of my boys, and he'll explain to you the situation and how everything works and all these type of things. So if you're interested in that stuff, go down, apply below. You'll get some videos sent to you that will explain to you all sorts of funny ways that we can apply this stuff. Do not laugh at my quips in there. And yes, I'll talk to you on the inside. Join all my communities, join all that type of stuff. Get on board. Let's actually start transforming you into somebody who's reaching your potential. If you're talented in any way, if you've got, like, if you're interested in video editing, obviously I know how to video edit. If you're interested in speaking, you want to build some type of brand, like, I want a group of people around me that are as talented as possible, who get the vibe that I get, who get the world that I get, who are going out there, putting themselves out there, becoming good enough, creating stuff. I can train them and incubate them and get them up to that level, and then we have a corner of culture that is just going to be so fucking powerful. We start doing that because we're ultimately right. We're telling the truth. Like, this is how the world is working right now, and this is the story that it seems like nobody is fucking listening to or paying attention to or can see. You know, it seems like culture is becoming stale. Well, we got to be people who take, you know, we got to stand up and sort of say, all right, well, we're going to take responsibility for that, and we're going to start creating something fresh. So that's it. Apply down below. I'll talk to you later. Stay juicy. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed. Boyo, over and out.